remind you, there is nothing seeker-friendly about suppressing the truth. There is nothing seeker-friendly about someone coming to a church hungry and thirsty for something from God, whether they know it or not, and they don't get it because we might offend them. That's how you save sinners. They get offended. It's called conviction. That's how they repent. Peter said to Jesus, by just watching a miracle, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man."
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick with a continuing study called Righteous Distinctions in 1 John chapter 3.
Love does not strut. He says parade itself. It does not walk around drawing attention to itself. That's what a parade does. A parade draws your attention. It goes out of its way to do that very thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. Love is not puffed up. I am better than you. You're smaller than me. Even if it's not true, I want everybody to think it's true. Love suffers, still kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So Paul, John, Peter, all of them are saying the same thing. Peter comes along, he says, "We got this precious faith because of love." All you have to do, if you read the 13th chapter of Corinthians and you exchange the word love for Jesus, you get a better understanding, maybe, of his character, how he looked to the men that met him, walked with him. But if you want to deflate your own high-minded opinion of yourself, should you have one, put your name there, wherever the name love shows up. Rick suffers long, yes, and is kind. I'm trying. Rick does not envy. Well, it depends on what it is. Rick does not parade himself. When I had hair, I did. Rick is not puffed up. If you continue reading that chapter, you'll find stingers throughout. Well, we need to move to verse 11. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." You can almost get tired of hearing it in the New Testament. Oh, here he goes again with the love deal. But what are you without it? It's the main ingredient. Bake a cake without butter. Offer desserts without sugars. I don't mean these new sugars that are nasty, that some of you try to insist they're not. Well, you get used to it. No, they're nothing like the sugar cane. Anyway, okay. That's for another message when we talk about food fighters. Because what is it about us? We get so offended if somebody doesn't like the food we like. If I tell you I hate bananas and you like bananas, you go bananas. So what? You don't like them? I just said that. We're just messed up that way, but we should know it and be ready for it. Just don't go messing with the foods I like. There's only 8 of them. So anyway, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." That sinless life of Christ, that sacrificial death, that miraculous resurrection, human philosophy, human self-righteousness, cannot match it, cannot come close. They reject it. I believe if Christ permitted sin without restraint, they would love him, as they do with, you know, Buddha and all the rest of them. As long as they don't convict me, I'm fine with them. Live and let live. But Christ comes along, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Thou shalt not sin. Violate the commandments of God." Jesus gave the message, John is saying here, "For this is the message." He gave this message to his saints. He commissioned them. We have it in Matthew 28, 19, 20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." We have it in Mark 16. "Go into the world, making disciples, new believers. We are to conform to what God says. You know what God told the prophet Jeremiah? Don't go chasing them. Let them come to you. You do not conform your message to win people. They conform to the message or it's no deal. Jeremiah 15:19. If you must, look it up. Everybody should be looking down, writing Jeremiah 15:19. Some wise guy says, no, I'll listen to the message again. No, you won't. Maybe you will. All right. Without love, what do we get? Why is it stressed so much? We get a picture in Genesis of what it's like on earth when there is just no love. Noah, the second father, brought a different personality, gave humanity a better chance just according to the natural man. Genesis 6, though, before that, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." That them, it stands through them. I mentioned before, General Patton had written a letter, and in his letter, because he was, you know, he had a lot of enemies on his side. And he knew it, political enemies. They just could not stand a man that could conquer and didn't care for politics. And so he writes in his letter, they, them. And he doesn't mention who they are, but the reader understands, knows who it is. And so here God is saying the earth was filled with violence through them. And it behooves the individual to say, I'm not one of them. I am not the child of the devil. I am not in that camp. I may struggle, I may fall, but I do not believe sin is good for me ever. Man needs to be told what is right. God does not say, you know what, I'll let you figure it out. Man needs to be told what is wrong, and he needs to be told how to get right and stay right. And so we have all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The first known man who was also, the first known murderer who was also the founder of the world's first false religion is Cain. They go together. Murder and false beliefs about God. Harm, violence, destruction belongs to false religions. That's why God is so hateful of those things. And so the world's first false religion was based on what? Good works and self-effort and human merit. That's the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering. His brother Abel brings the blood of the lamb. Says this is a sacrificial, it is a substitute. I am guilty. It should be my blood, my judgment. But you have allowed me to bring a substitute. It was prophetic. We know it as Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the cross. It was speaking of a day when there would be a substitute, a sacrifice by God to make atonement, to bring peace between man and God. All of the Jewish offerings, they were called coverings, kofar in the Hebrew. They only covered the sin. When John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ and told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." He doesn't cover it, he removes it. And so, contrary to the revealed truth, Cain killed his brother. What was Abel? It doesn't sound right because his name is Abel. He's Abel. Sorry. What was Abel doing that caused his brother to go against him so violently? What righteous act was he doing? He lived according to God's definition of faith in the face of everyone else, regardless of what they were doing. Abel didn't say, yeah, you know what, I know, God, you got a bad deal. You brought your little fruit basket. You worked so hard. I saw you out there, you know, tilling the ground, watering it, and then getting your basket weaved and bringing all this stuff to God. And he tells you, no good. I'm with you. Abel doesn't do that. Abel brings his offering and goes, you know what you should have done, and you chose not to do it. So Cain, did he show his brother love when he slew him? Interesting, the righteous Abel did not slay the wicked Cain. It was the other way around. Not the single act of violence that worked so much against Cain as it was his rejection of God's way, which means everything to God. Because what do you get with the people? If you're God, what do you get from a person who says, I have no interest in doing what you say? I'm not bothered by doing opposite of what you say. What would happen if you had a little, you know, a little 7-year-old stand up and say, I don't care, Dad, what you think I should or should not do? Well, he would be hard to talk over the knee. The rod would not be spared. Well, why do people think they can pull this kind of stunt with God and call it intellectual? Think that it's cute? They've created this system that they love so much. How dare you Christians stand against them? You do not have their credentials. You're not on their level to disagree with them. And then when one of their own becomes saved, what do? They vilify them, alienate them, say that they've become archaic. They do anything but say, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there is a Savior, a God who loves us so much that is using this life as a proving ground for who will side with him and who will not. And so we receive Christ's way of salvation and we reject every other way. And for this, the world will not forgive us. The world will not forgive us for preaching Jesus Christ alone. They will hold it against us to their destruction. He says here in verse 12, and why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. It's a vital question. Why did he do that? What made you do that? Why'd you kill him? After church, point being that Cain was not a child of God. His seed was not God's seed in his heart. And his deeds proved it. So John, writing against this teaching, the system of Gnosticism, of know-it-allism, the intellectual ones, nothing wrong with being intellectual. There's something wrong with being a rebel against the God that you're supposed to use your intellect to explore, to learn from, and to preach. John says essentially to the Gnostics, you think sin doesn't matter? Do you think it mattered to Abel? Do you think it mattered to Adam and Eve when their own son slew their other son? Yes, sin matters. Yes, it is trouble. Yes, it is bad stuff. It is high quality folly. It is blue ribbon error to suppose that man does not need someone to rescue him from himself. All men know that all men are messed up somewhere along the line. History is replete with, world wars. What is that? It's the world at war. If man was so ingenious, he wouldn't have world wars. But he's not. And the atrocities that abound that we don't hear about, because, of course, we have a media in this world that is preoccupied with attacking the righteous rather than exposing the wicked. You go to the newsium in Washington, D.C. Yeah, the news people have their own museum. And the first room you walk in is the room of horrors, where the photographers get $1 million for capturing somebody else's suffering. And they applaud this. And you go into the first room and try to find, you probably can count on your hand how many happy pictures are there. But the rest of the room is consumed by horror. And they think this is so cool. You look up in the atrium, and there's a twisted steel frame that was on one of the towers of the World Trade Center, because they suppressed the truth about enemies who were intent. You could, it's not politically correct to call a dog a dog. It's not politically correct to profile people who fit a pattern that is unmistakable. Just let them in and be quiet. And so there they have their monuments that boast of their suppression of the truth and unrighteousness. And God says, you're not my kid. You're not from my seed. You do not belong with me. You can if you want. Oh, but you don't want. And so what am I supposed to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep with my people. I will have my remnant always. They will preach the truth in your face. You can do with them whatever you like. But at the end of the day, the gospel has been preached. And when you shut them down from all the media that's out there and they can no longer preach, I will send an angel with the everlasting gospel and it will still be preached. Put that in your hat and wear it. That's preaching. That's pretty good. Wish I could take credit. Sometimes I listen online or in the car, and just I try not to, but sometimes I have to, and I say something, well, that was pretty good. It just proves that it wasn't me, because I can never come up with that again. That's preaching, and that's available to all Christians, maybe not from in an assembly, but when you preach, if you're too scared to preach the gospel, you'll never develop it. You'll never discover that God will speak through you. It pushes you kind of on the side very gently and let it go. Don't be afraid to share the truth. We are witnesses. We are supposed to tell what we've seen, not so much what we know. I mean, intellectually, because you can't really entirely separate the two. Well, we're almost out of time, so I must speed up. But the great lie at the heart of all the world's false religions, as it was with Cain, is that salvation can be either purchased, it can be earned, you can go on a pilgrimage to get it, make some sort of a pay. You can get salvation without God. That's the lie of all the false religions in the world. And some of them use Jesus' name to do it. And so it adds up to this. The world says that men earn salvation by their deeds. And the Bible says, I disagree. Rendering their deeds meaningless, which insults them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved, by the goodness of God. By the goodness of God, let's just get this right, it is God's goodness that saves you in your badness and from your badness. By the grace of God, you have been saved through faith. That is the reception of God's message that John is talking about here. From the beginning, he even emphasized. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The truth of God, adverse to concepts of this world, and therefore we are enemies. And the spirit of this world is managed, it is energized by a very real devil. So they want to say, everybody's God's child. No, you know what? Everybody is born Satan's child, because you're born in iniquity. And the only way out is to become God's child. Verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. The humanity without Christ is not interested in him, flat out. I'm going to skip all of these fantastic things that I thought were good to share with you because of time. And God is saying, no, you used up all your time telling jokes and other things like that. The love of God for man, it is a perfect love. It is according to light, and it always rebukes sin without exception. It is this aspect which stirs the hatred of so many people. How dare God hold me accountable? John 7, verse 7, Jesus, you remember his brothers who did not believe in him when he walked the earth, and they tried to get his schedule to match what they thought was good. And he responds to them, he says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. He's speaking about his testimony to religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Romans, the Greeks, everybody who is not lined up with the teachings of the prophets and the Christ were those who were in rejection of God's salvation. The world wants unbeliever-friendly messages, hearer-friendly messengers, impenitent-friendly messengers, seeker-friendly messages. I remind you, there is nothing seeker-friendly about suppressing the truth. There is nothing seeker-friendly about someone coming to a church hungry and thirsty for something from God, whether they know it or not, and they don't get it because we might offend them. That's how you save sinners. They get offended. It's called conviction. That's how they repent. Peter said to Jesus, by just watching a miracle, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And fortunately, Christ did not depart from him. The Old Testament prophets, the New Testament apostles, they preached the gospel, the truth. All of it. The Lord denounced the religious leaders of his day. He called them serpents, a brood of vipers and hypocrites. The church, the true church, even in John's day, for three centuries, they endured the deadly force and the hatred of this world. It wasn't until the world managed to mingle itself into the church that the church began to stop preaching these truths and entered in what we know as the Dark Ages, and dark they were. And by the time she comes out in the Reformation, she retains a great amount of bad doctrine and behavior still, because the sin was that entrenched. Nearly all of John's colleagues by this time, the apostles, had died in ministry or were persecuted to death. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. John is using brethren as believers, and it is in many ways easier to love an unbeliever, naturally speaking, because we don't expect them to be righteous. But when you attend a church for a period of time and things happen and people do stuff, now it's on. Now we're going to find out, do you love the brethren? It's critical that you don't give in and become bitter against them. Our heart is to be open to every person. But there are two families on earth, the children of God and the children of the devil. And we better make sure we love the Christians. The assurance of the believer is love. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whether we murder with the tongue or with the weapon, we have to be careful. We're not trying to slay the other person because love doesn't do that. He says, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's the impenitent murder. Person cannot be hate-filled and an authentic Christian at the same time. The authenticator is love. A genuine Christianity, and envy and jealousy, they lead to murder, Jesus taught. We learn it from Cain, and we learn it from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And here is one of the verses in John's letter, incidentally, that helps us understand that John does not speak in absolutes, because Moses was a murderer, David was a murderer. Both of those men are called, even after their lives, men of God. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He had no objection. In fact, he applauded the stoning of a righteous man for preaching Jesus Christ, the stoning of Stephen. So John is not speaking in absolutes. We have to keep it in context to what he is saying with this. And the Lord himself warned that a murderer is not only person who kills another, but who is deadly angry with another. And so I close with this. Hatred, the hatred that a human being can have, flies off the same emotional runway as a murderer. It's the same runway. Hatred can lead to murder. And Jesus says, I'm going back to the beginning of it. Is found in your heart, work to get it out, because it's not like me. If God had that kind of hatred, he would just wipe humanity out. We're children of the Lord. Let's be like him as best we can.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.